And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game live at Bridgestone Arena. Pete and Terry's Tavern tonight. Preds in Calgary. Crispy at 4:30. The latest member of the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame.
That's fantastic for him. So well deserving. I mean, he's got to be thrilled as he can be.
He should be thrilled.
Of course, he's in a couple, I'm sure, but still. Should be, I mean, he'll be thrilled.
This is probably Crispy's first Hall of Fame, though, south of the Mason-Dixon line, if I had
probably
to take a guess.
Probably a good point.
So there is that. So the Tom Brady to the Titans talk, for me, I think is great. Tom Brady to the Titans, it has been the lead subject on ESPN, it has been the lead subject on NFL Network, and it has been the lead subject of this program for, I don't know what, the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that.
Been a lot.
And it just keeps growing, growing, and growing. And before we get back to your calls and your texts, Mike Vrabel was asked about Tom Brady by a New England reporter. So this is NBC Sports Boston's Phil Perry. Who asked Vrabel about Brady and talked about Brady being a good fit. So Vrabel asked Phil Perry back, well, does he think that?
Why would you say that would be a great fit? I'm just curious.
It's a team that obviously has shown it can win now. There's good offensive weapons there, good offensive line.
We're 9-7. We played a couple good, you know, I mean, I know a lot of players in the league. I played 14 years. I'm friends with some, and, you know, Tom's under contract, so... I just was curious why you thought it would be a great fit.
So I have two thoughts to this. Number one, I do love how Vrabel was like, we were 9-7. Everyone's like, you're a great team, great team. I mean, we were 9-7, played a couple good. You know, it's nothing there. But I think Vrabel's having fun with this because Vrabel thinks it's ridiculous. And I know that, you know, everybody's coming out there and the Jeff Darlingtons of the world are saying he's going to free agency, people. I know you all think he's not. He's going to free agency. Brady's going to be a free agent. And all the people out there on TV are opining, you know, that the Titans would be a great fit and he and Vrabel are buddies. So because he and Vrabel are buddies, it's going to work and it's going to. And Vrabel's reaction right there. I don't want to say told me all I needed to know, because maybe Vrabel could have a rabbit in his you-know-what. But I think Vrabel's having fun with it because Vrabel thinks it's ridiculous.
he's certainly having fun with it. I'll say that. I mean, he of course, he's, you know, he's a character anyway, especially when it comes to the press.
Oh, yeah, and dumb questions.
Yeah. So, that was pretty good.
But do you think there's something to the fact that even Vrabel thinks this is ridiculous? Or do you think Vrabel thinks that this is legit? Or where do you think Vrabel is on all of this?
I'm assuming that they're very much like I am. But I don't know that. I mean, I'm assuming they're kind of... I mean, New England makes a habit out of... People wonder how all these, you know, guys go someplace and then end up coming back and they go... They say, go shop, go see what you can get. You know, whatever you can get, you come back to us, and if we can match it, we will. And so that's what happens with a lot of these guys. Now, if you come back, if you go and you come back with $10 million more than they want to give you, then you go on and go about your merry way. But if you don't, if you come back with about what they thought it was going to be, then, you know, they say, okay, let's do the deal now.
So I don't even think that Brady is the perfect quarterback for Vrabel. As much as everybody makes this out to be about how Brady is this great quarterback for Vrabel because they're friends and they played together and all of that, I was listening to Vrabel do his interview with Pro Football Talk, and the more he talked, I was like, you know what? Maybe Tannehill's the perfect quarterback for him. This was Vrabel, Ian, if we can, on the front runners. This was Vrabel on NBC Sports on Pro Football Talk talking about what he was most proud about his football team.
Yeah, what I'm proud of is our players and their effort and their finish and how they played and how they responded to a little bit of adversity. The one thing I'll be most proud of is this past season is that we didn't have a whole lot of front runners. When you start 2-4, it's real easy to start complaining and pointing fingers, and our guys didn't do that, and nobody acted like a front runner, and I'll be proud of that.
And Vrabel said that about 500 times since the season ended. that, you know, we don't have front runners in here. We're not about front running. We're this team. We stuck together. We're about this. We're this. We're that. And I'm thinking to myself, then how would it look if the coach who is all about, hey, we're in this together. We're not front runners. We're doing this. How would that look for that coach then to go dump his quarterback and go get Tom Brady? Because it would almost look like, it doesn't really matter what you do here. If we can get somebody better, we're going to go out there and get him. And then listening to him talk about Tannehill made me think that Tannehill is the perfect quarterback for him. This is what he said about Tannehill.
The thing I noticed early on is when we signed Ryan and we traded for him, is he came in and you have to learn. I mean, you know, you've learned different systems. And again, the plays, a lot of them are similar, but they're called something different. And that is very hard to be able to master the terminology, the looks, the reads, the progression, the run game, you know, how we want to handle the run game, the things that we want to can to and how we want to manipulate our run game.
Right.
And he learned all that and he supported Marcus. And I think that will be the thing that I'll look back and be thankful for Ryan as he supported. He didn't agree with the role. Who would? Who would ever say, I want to be a backup? But he supported that decision. And then when given the opportunity, he excelled. His leadership blossomed.
Right.
And that was something that I'll look back and be thankful for.
I mean, doesn't it sound like Tannehill is the perfect quarterback for Vrabel?
I mean, it sounded like there was a lot that he liked about him. I'll say that now. He kept going and going and going. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they have any problems. But, again, we're not there. I mean, I don't think Bill and Tom do, but we're not there. Maybe they hate each other, you know. It's, you just don't know. But I think you look at that locker room and the type of person that comes out of that locker room. I mean, there's, while different in personality, different backgrounds, different whatever, when they come out of there, they're all kind of saying the same thing. You know, it's all kind of, this is how we feel, this is how we work, this is what we want to do, and that's the way they like it. And that's the way I would like it, too.
But how does that apply to Tannehill? Because I think Tannehill does all the right things, says all the right things. But you heard right there where Vrabel said one of the things he appreciated was how Tannehill wanted to play how we wanted to win ball games.
Yeah. I mean,
well, Tom Brady's not going to play the way that you want to win ball games if that's the way you want to win ball games.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to that. We talked about that yesterday. So, I mean, I would agree. It's going to be different. If he comes, things will have to change a little bit.
I just can't, I'm trying to read between the lines here, and this is the most that we've heard them say, him or Robinson, about Tannehill, but then it doubles down on everything they seem to believe in Tannehill. That's why I think this is all crazy, and it's all speculation, and it's all driven from, you know, like, I think this is all driven from ESPN wanting something to talk about all the time that has to do with Tom Brady. It's like, what can we talk about today that has to do with Brady? Because just what I'm seeing, what I see when I look with my eyes and I hear with my ears, other than what Robinson said yesterday about, or 2 days ago about Tannehill, which floored me, and I cannot believe that he would say what he said about Derrick Henry and then say what he said about Tannehill. I still think J-Rob's probably kicking himself in the rear end for doing that. But the more I keep circling back to Tannehill. And I think if Vrabel had his druthers, who do you think he would take, Brady or Tannehill?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I don't know why he would, a young coach in a position where you've got a team that just went to the championship game. Now, you can tell that he is not all that impressed with that, as very few of those Patriots would be. You know, it's all well and good, you know, congratulations and be excited. But, you know, if it's not the Super Bowl, then it doesn't really matter. So I think, you know, judging from that, what they did last year is, while certainly nice, and he's very, very happy about it, I mean, it ain't good enough. You know, we're not there yet. And so I think it's I mean, he's going to keep striving for that.
Okay, and but if what may- but if what they did last year and what Tannehill did last year wasn't good enough, what can you get that's better? And is Brady at 43 better than what you got from Tannehill last year?
Oh, I mean, we have to see Brady at 43. But, I mean, Brady last year was not as good as Brady was the year before.
Now, is that because he didn't have Gronk, or is that because he just wasn't as good?
He wasn't as good. But not having Gronk, of course, is an issue. I mean, they're going to have to get some people. But you know what? They do this every year or two. I mean, there's, you know, where we lose Wes, okay, who's next? Well, Armandola, bring him in. Okay, he's gone now. Who with Jules? Let's get Jules going. And you, I mean, they do it every couple of years.
But so. They did that with Tom Brady in his prime before, not with Tom Brady at 43.
Oh, yeah, but what they're asking of him, what he's doing, is the same. I mean, it's that's what I'm saying. That's why it's so beautiful for him. They're not all of a sudden going to say, okay, we're going to start running a bunch of bootlegs and, you know, waggles and counter. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to do the same thing they've been doing. They'll, you know, purify it a little bit more and go. But they're not going to all of a sudden say, okay, we're changing a bunch of stuff. And even if they change coordinators, they still wouldn't change. You know, they're going to do because that's what Bill likes to do.
615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get right back to your texts and your calls on Brady and Tannehill, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the text line, use the text line right now if you want to go to the soccer game, first ever MLS game in Nashville. That's right. If you want to go on Saturday, text in the keyword goal to the game text line at 615-737-1025 now for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the season home opener and the MLS opener for Nashville SC at Nissan Stadium this Saturday. Get excited about that. Our big, long commercial-free segment live from Pete and Terry's Tavern is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At this point, I'd be stunned if he returns to New England, to be very blunt about it. And I understand that people don't necessarily want to accept it. Even those close to Brady still sit there and say, yeah, but you'll walk into Bill Belichick's office, he'll lay out this master plan, and all will be well again. I got to tell you, I get no sense that Brady is thinking that way. Instead, very much so, looking toward free agency. It is not as if Tom Brady is flirting with the possibility of free agency so we can ultimately come back with the Patriots. He is absolutely looking forward to free agency.
That was Jeff Darlington this morning on Get Up on ESPN. How about this article coming from Ian Rappaport? Are you ready for this?
Okay.
I'm reading from Pro Football Talk. The Patriots may not have talked to Tom Brady's representation, but other teams have. Ian Rappaport named the Chargers, Raiders, and Colts as teams that Don Yee and Carter Chow have met with about Brady this week in Indianapolis. While it is common for teams to meet with prospective free agents at the combine, it is also against the rules. The Patriots are unlikely to file tampering charges. And in fact, as Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston reported, New England appears to welcome the talks between Brady's representation and other teams. Two angles here. Number one, does this make sense to us that the Patriots would welcome other teams to essentially tamper with Tom Brady?
Well, they can't do that. I mean, you can't allow people to tamper. You're either tampering or you're not.
But don't the Patriots have to file tampering charges for there to be tampering?
If the league suspects there's tampering, they can do whatever they want.
Well, the league-owned network reporter is reporting that there's tampering going on.
Well, like I said, if the league wants to, they can do whatever they want, including fines, suspend, whatever.
Picks.
Take track charges, yeah.
So if Brady ends up with one of those teams, could the Titans file tampering charges on Indianapolis, if Indianapolis signs Tom Brady and they met with Don Yee at the combine?
Who, New England?
No. Could Tennessee file tampering charges, or does New England have to be the team that files tampering charges?
No. I mean, if you know that somebody's tampered, anybody can file tampering charges. Now you got to be able to prove it. That's the thing.
Okay, let's just say for argument's sake that it can't be proven that they're tampering, but it's being reported that they are tampering. Let's take Rappaport at his word that these teams are meeting with Brady's representation, and the Patriots are welcoming that.
Well, see, here's the here's what you run into. If, and this happens a lot, they are allowed to talk to Don Yee about his draft choices. They're allowed to talk to Don Yee about his people that are truly free agents. That is, guys are not with the team that are out there. And they're allowed to talk to Don about anybody that's on their team.
Or they could talk to Don about representing
them. So you, if you have a player represented by Don Yee, I mean, and they, people say, well, they're talking to Don Yee. Yeah, I'm talking to Don Yee about Billy Bob. We want to extend Billy Bob, or we want to see how happy Billy Bob is, or we want to.
Okay, but you've told me that the combine is rampant for tampering.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Okay, so let's just say that that's what's going on here, because that's what's being reported. If that's the case, I thought there was a huge glaring omission from the Rappaport report. If the Raiders, the Colts, and the Chargers are meeting with Brady's people to talk about Brady, what team was not on that list?
Yeah, I mean, and they're thankful they're not.
And that team is?
Titans.
The Titans. What do you make of that? The Titans, if, again, if New England is allowing Brady's people to talk to other clubs about Brady.
Which you can't do.
Which you can't do, but it happens anyway, so let's just go with it because that's the reality of the situation here. And New England seems to be okay with it. Are we surprised the Titans are not talking to Don Yee? Or are not reported to be talking to Don Yee?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, no. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, if you don't, if Don doesn't have a player with them, or they're not interested in one of Don's players, or, you know, not interested, then, you know, they don't have a reason to talk.
And if they're not interested in Tom Brady, then that would be them not being interested in Don's player. So I again think that I think the more, other than what Robinson said the other day about Tannehill, I think everything points to Ryan Tannehill being franchise tagged or signed and returning as the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. I mean, the Titans aren't above all these other teams. Like, Indianapolis is a well-run organization, for the most part, outside of their owner. Indianapolis is a well-run organization. So, for Ian Rappaport, this is where I'm still having a hard time with this. So, these teams aren't allowed to tamper with Tom Brady, right?
Teams are not allowed to tamper with him.
Okay, but it happens anyways, right?
I mean, I've heard people talk about it.
Just be honest with the people. For
I can't reckon. You can't recognize tampering. It's illegal.
I know.
That's
but
like
you
want me
happens.
To. You want me to stand up here and say, "Yeah, Johnny does do cocaine, and he ships it to Mexico."
No,
you don't do that.
No, but I'm not pointing at Johnny and saying that he does cocaine. I am saying that cocaine does get sold in America, because even though it is in fact illegal, cocaine does get sold and people do snort it.
That's what I understand.
Okay.
Yes.
And so do you understand that tampering happens at the combine?
I understand.
Okay. So Ian Rappaport is saying these are the teams that are meeting for Brady. You are not one of those teams. I think this continues to point to the fact that I'm not sure the Titans are interested in Brady as much as the media around the country wants to keep bringing the Titans into this.
Well, it's not even the Titans. It's Vrabel and J-Rod, you know, the connection, the New England connection.
The New England connection and the fact that they were good last year.
And that's the thing that, you know, is so easy to connect. The two things, the couple of things you got to, what you know, what's going to lure him away? Oh, a good friend. Okay, well, who's a better friend than Mike? I mean, I don't believe any of that, but that's, you know, they're saying that's how it comes. And
well,
then from there, it just expands to wherever you want to take it.
I think the other side of this, too, is not the fact that it's the Patriot connection, I think, is certainly up there as for reasons to why they think the Titans would be a fit. I think the winning is the other reason, right? Like, we don't think Tom Brady wants to go to some crap team. But that's exactly what the Raiders and the Chargers are. The bad teams.
Well, last year the Chargers won 12 games.
You mean the year before last year?
Yeah, not in 19, but in 8, they won 12 games. So, you know, how bad are they? I don't know. I'm asking, you know, and I mean, if Tom's saying, wait a minute, this team was 9-7, that team was 12-4. Let's think about this. So, I mean, those are the kind of questions you got to ask yourself.
Texter to the text line, would Tom Brady be as efficient with the Titans as he was with the Patriots? Is it just the guy, Tom, or is it the entire organization around him that make the Patriots so good and so efficient?
Well, I mean, Tom is good and efficient, but it is the organization. I mean, that's everything you see on the football field is the organization. The way they do things, the way they present themselves, the way they want things done. I mean, that is the epitome, and that's why it is such I mean, you know, it's hard to imagine that if somebody that had done all he had done could stay there, that he would want to leave for whatever reason. You know, people can say it's money. Well, it's not money. You know, he's fighting with Bill. He's not fighting with Bill. You know, what? I mean, I don't know what it is. And the only thing I keep coming up with is if, in fact, they said, okay, we don't want you, Tom. You know, it's time for you to move on.
Well, that's what I had somebody say to me earlier today was the idea of, you know, could Brady's camp be going to Darlington talking about how badly Tom wants to test free agency and how excited Tom is to leave to then kind of stir up some noise with the Patriots because maybe the Patriots haven't gone to Tom and begged Tom to stay.
Well, I mean, again, I'm not there, but I am familiar with some of the things that go on there. I mean, they've talked to Tom or they've talked to Don or even though
it was reported today that there have been no talks between the Patriots and Brady.
They do not push things off to the last minute. Nothing is done there hurriedly. It's done very professionally. It's done very time sensitive. I mean, it's so they're, you know, if they were thinking about re-signing Tom or, you know, whatever it was, they've had plenty of talks.
Does that not play into the narrative a little bit, though? That the narrative out there that exists that is Belichick wants to start over, Belichick wants a new quarterback, Belichick wants to move on. And that would also support what we do know about Belichick, that is Bill Belichick likes to move on from a guy a year too early as opposed to moving on a year too late.
Which he does like doing that. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But, I mean, if he would have done that with Tom, Tom would have been gone 10 years ago. Because, I mean, you know, general wisdom is, hey, at 38, it's time to start thinking, okay, this might be over. And certainly at 39, and Lord forbid it could be 40, well, he's 43, and he's still going. So when does that time come? I don't know.
More phones, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, Jared and the GM, as we are live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Let me tell you about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. That's right. Those are my guys, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Did you know that they have an average 4.8 out of 5-star rating on over 15,000, that's right, 15,000 online reviews? Do you know that Hiller's got only a couple days left until the 29th? For you to get that new HVAC, that's right, that new HVAC unit, they'll pay your heating bills for the rest of the year up to $1,200 worth in terms of the value. And right now, beat the summer rush and save money when you purchase the new HVAC unit instead of during the peak summer times when it's hotter and, of course, a little bit more expensive. That's right. During peak seasons, wait time for service is always longer, and homeowners without HVAC, that stinks. That's right. So, again, that's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers. They take great care of my home. They can take care of yours. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Let's look at the Tennessee Titans. First of all, forget about brand names in the NFL. That's very dangerous. Even quarterbacks you trust. The reason someone like Adrian Peterson, who could still play a little but was nothing like he once was, still gets headlines is because it's Adrian Peterson. But in terms of the actual production, there are lots of running backs better, you know, after a certain point. So forget about brand names. 7 years ago or 5 years ago, if you said Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill, it's a punchline. Of course, Tom Brady. Last year, Ryan Tannehill was better than Tom Brady. Well, it's because he had this, he had that. He was better than Tom Brady last year. And he's younger and ascending, and Brady's older and probably descending. So, you know, even farther than he's already descended. So I think you're trading down if you don't sign Tannehill and instead sign Brady.
That was Max Kellerman saying you're trending downward even if you do make the move to Tom Brady. Jared and the GM live from Pete and Terry's Tavern. Text into the text line. Floyd as a GM. How much did a guy's winning factor, for example, Brady's six rings, factor into the evaluation? How much are you willing to compromise on a player's talent to bring in guys who have been there? And that's been the question on my mind as I weigh Tannehill, who's probably a better current fit, versus Brady, a guy who has been there and done that.
Yeah, I mean, winning is the whole reason you're in the business. We know that. That being said, I mean, the real question with Tom is not the winning, because we've seen that. We know the question was with Tom is, can he do it again? And I don't, you know, that's the thing that you have to figure out in your own mind. Can he, in fact, do it again? Because if he can't, all of this is for naught, if that's the reason you're doing it. You know, now, if you're doing it to sell tickets, well, I mean, just signing them will sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the easiest part.
It's hard for me, though, to say that even, like, take Russell Wilson, right? I think Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes are the two best quarterbacks in the league. Fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay, so if the Titans are really good, the Titans are a good team. They're well coached. You know, they've got a nice defense, although the defense could get a little bit better. They've got a running game. They've got some weapons on offense. If you put Russell Wilson on the Titans, that doesn't necessarily mean the Titans win the Super Bowl, even if you get Russell Wilson. That's what's so hard about this. To your point of, if Brady comes back here, Brady would be a failure to not win the Super Bowl. Well, Brady's played 20 seasons, and he's only got six Super Bowls. And you say only as if that's not a bushel of Super Bowls, which it is. But it's no guarantee that even if you bring Tom in here that you would win a Super Bowl. And it's no guarantee that even if Tom played the best he's ever played in his career that you'd win the Super Bowl. And there's no guarantee that if Tom played the best that he ever played in his career in New England next year that they'll win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, that's a really hard, you know, thing to evaluate of, can Tom do it again, unless you just think that Tom's too old.
Which, I mean, that becomes a question at 43. You know, which way is he trending? Which way is he going?
Why wouldn't it be money for Tom Brady? I guess you said that money's not going to be a big factor to Tom Brady, or shouldn't be a big factor. Texter says, why wouldn't money be a big factor for Tom Brady? He spent his whole career in the middle of the pack as far as pay goes. Why wouldn't he want one big payday on his way out the door?
Well, let me say this. If you want a big payday, he's had the opportunity to have dozens. I mean, he's had 20 years worth of opportunities to get a big payday. When he could have gotten it, you know, at points in time when he could have gotten it, and he knew he could have gotten it. So that's that's why I don't know why he would wait until now to try to get it. You know, all these other coaches, all these other quarterbacks we talked about going to other teams and all that, they didn't go for the money. They went because that was the only job they could get, you know. They whatever they were going to get, fine. Or they got traded and had no choice, you know. But it wasn't like they just lined up and said, well, I want to be a boom.
Who's the last quarterback to voluntarily leave where he was? To, like, raise his hand and say, I don't want to be here anymore. I mean, really think about that. How many quarterbacks have there been in the NFL who didn't like somewhere and decided they didn't want to be there anymore? Breeze wasn't wanted back in San Diego when he went to New Orleans. Manning was released in Indianapolis so they could draft Andrew Luck. Joe Montana was traded to Kansas City. Like, who's the last? Brett Favre, originally retired, wanted to come back, And Green Bay said, no, we're good with Aaron and traded him to the Jets. Like, who's the last quarterback who left his team and the team was like, gosh, we did everything we could to keep this quarterback and we'd love to keep him, but we can't. Even Cousins, who was, I think, the last marquee free agent quarterback to go, which is really depressing when you use marquee and Kirk Cousins in the same sentence. But Cousins, who was like the last guy to go, they didn't want him in Washington. They franchised him twice, and then they traded for Alex Smith. They didn't want Cousins in Washington. So how many quarterbacks that actually go are because the guy was a free agent and the team wasn't able to afford him, even though they wanted to keep him, and he got out there and he left? And I cannot think of a single quarterback who made the decision of him wanting to leave. I'm sure there's somebody and I can't think of it, but really, who was the last quarterback that wanted out and got out?
Yeah, I mean, quarterbacks don't want to leave a great situation for them. Why would they leave?
Carson Palmer in Cincinnati is the last quarterback I can think of who was literally like, screw this, I ain't doing it. Because remember, he held out, and they were like, even if they paid him more, Carson's like, I don't want to be here anymore. So then finally, right before the trade deadline, Cincinnati flipped him to Oakland, and then he went to Arizona. So Carson Palmer is the only guy I can think of who legitimately, like, threw his hands in the air and said, get me out of here.
Yeah, I don't – I mean, I don't know. I don't know of anybody. But, and I don't know, again, why you would want to leave New England. I mean, with everything, I mean, Tom is a god there. Of course, Tom would be a god any place he went.
Oh, my God. I was talking to somebody today. I said, if Tom Brady were to sign with the Tennessee Titans, as much as I think it would be a bad thing for the Titans, because I believe Tannehill is their best, you know, I think Tannehill is probably, you know, the guy. Like, Tannehill is their best option. If Tom Brady signed with the Tennessee Titans, that would be a game changer for the radio station.
Be a lot of talk.
I mean, everybody would be talking about Tom Brady. What are you watching?
Combine. The combine's on.
I know, but is this guy's running?
Well, it's a 40. They're not just running, it's the 40.
I know, but is that interesting? Like,
oh, it's
here's some tight end who's going to go undrafted you've never heard of. He's going to run a 4.740. Congratulations.
Number one issue, number one probably reason the majority of people go to the combine, watch the 40.
I know, but they want to watch the good players run the 40.
Well, there's one right after the other here.
I know, but these are tight ends. Who cares about the tight end running the 40?
I care about them all. Get excited.
Titans don't need a tight end in the draft.
I don't know. Maybe.
You think they need a tight end?
They could use a tight end.
You don't believe in Janu? I will say this about you. I don't think you do believe in Janu. Or I think you have question marks around Janu. I think you're worried about Janu. I think
consistency.
You are...
It's the consistency.
Although he was consistent this year.
He was more consistent. I wouldn't call him consistent. But he was more consistent.
But you wouldn't take a tight end in the first round, would you?
No.
I mean, so there's a lot of...
No.
There's a lot of things at play here as far as the... Yeah. I just don't... To me, like the combine, I'm actually really going to put the combine watching. I'm going to put that all on your plate. Not during the show, but after when you go home.
It's from 3 to 7 or 3 to 9.
No, it's until like 10 o'clock tonight.
Well, it's going right now.
I know, but it's until 10 o'clock. So when you get home, then you watch the QB drills or whatever. Then we can get full evaluations as to what you think of these guys. I'll put that on you. I'll watch hockey. You watch the combine, and you get back to me as to what you saw from the combine.
Okay.
Are you going to watch a combine tonight when you get home?
I doubt it.
Really? What else would you do?
Preds are on. Preds are playing.
I know, but you like 40s more than you probably like a regular season Preds game.
I do like 40s, but I can pick up a piece of paper and read all the 40s. It's not quite as much fun as actually watching it, but you get the same thing.
Coming up next, John Hines this morning was talking about one good aspect of the situation the Predators find themselves in. Do we agree? We'll get into that coming up next. Jared and the GM, as we again are live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Crispy announced into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. He will join us at 4:30, as he always does on Thursday. First, though, let me tell you all about the great news that I have, which is ESPN 102.5 The Game is hitting the road for a Preds game. This year, it's off to Columbus to cheer on the Predators as they take on the Blue Jackets at Nationwide Arena on Saturday, March 14th. Tickets on sale now. Go to thegamenashville.com. Trip is organized by Simply a Fan. Visit simplyafan.com for other upcoming sports adventures. Transportation provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Gabe Nashville app.
One of the things we talked to the team about when we first got here was our objective at that point was let's get ourselves in position to be able to play meaningful games in March. And that would mean that we've won enough, we're in the playoff race, we're right there. And usually, you know, this time of year, there's a certain way you need to play to win. And for us, I think there's these external motivational factors too, that we're in a wild card spot, we're fighting for that, we've had some success as of late. So now it's, you know, I think there's a belief in how we need to play. Now we have to remain consistent. And if we do that and wind up winning games, you're playing at an intensity level heading into the playoffs that is makes you more playoff ready than sometimes, you know, coasting in with some breathing room into the playoffs. You may have some games to spare where for us, we got to be on task every night.
What do we think of that right there? You hear John Hines on Morning Drive today say, you know, if this team's going to make the playoffs, every game's going to matter down the stretch, and you're going to play with that intensity going into the playoffs as opposed to making the playoffs and having some breathing room. What do you think?
I mean, I could easily agree with that. I mean, especially with this team, I think, because this team, you know, we can't wait until, okay, this is the opening night of the playoffs to see how many of the guys are going to crank it up, you know. So we need to start that process now. And I don't care who you are or what you, you know, how much time you think you have. There are 20 games left. You know, you're 20 games and you're right on the cusp. You are as close to, you know, not making it as you are to making it. So there's not a lot of wiggle room here. And I think from now on, you can, you know, you can put yourself in a pretty good position here when it's all said and done. And considering the season, that'd be a feather in the cap.
I think it is the best of a bad situation. The best of a bad situation. That is, we didn't expect this team not to be very good at the beginning of the year. We didn't expect this team to fire its coach in the middle of the season. We didn't expect him to spend a majority of the winter outside of the playoff picture. We didn't expect him to be the eighth seed in the Western Conference, which they are right now. We didn't expect Thursday games in February against Calgary to be a big deal. We didn't expect any of that. We had much higher expectations for this team, much bigger hopes for this team, and a lot of the players on this team. But if they got to crank it up every single night down the stretch, and that means that you get into a first-round series against Vegas, who also, by the way, fired their coach and is now leading the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
But you get into a match with Vegas in the first round of the playoffs, and all of a sudden Vegas has had 3 weeks of putting their feet up on the desk, and you've been going 100%, and you walk into Vegas in Game 1 and Game 2, and you take both those games, come back here for Game 3, I'd say deep down inside, that's a pretty good spot to be in. I mean, that
we
is...
We take that now and never look back.
Oh, God, if you offered it to me out of court right now. And the other thing is, maybe it's this. Like, even though the Stanley Cup is always the goal, and people always talk about their goals and what the goal is or what it should be or something like that, the last two playoff seasons, the President's Trophy team and last year's team, the Stanley Cup was the only goal that any of us had.
Right.
Them, us, etc. I don't think that we look at the Stanley Cup as the goal this year, do we?
Well,
I mean, it is the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
But I'm not
going to
walk out of
there.
Right. If they get to the Western Conference Final this year, I'm not going to walk out of that and say, you know what? That wasn't really impressive. This new coach rolls right in there and fixes this and they get hot and they go to a Western Conference Final. If they make it to the first round and lose, I don't think a lot of us will be surprised. So when you're not surprised about losing in the playoffs, then it's kind of like, okay, that was a nice little run they had right there. As crazy as it sounds, What they've done in the regular season is lowered the expectations for a lot of people, especially the fans. And that all over time is a bad thing. But in this instance, it may be a good thing because it may take pressure off of the players once they get into the playoffs, if they do, in fact, get into the playoffs.
Well, it's I would agree with what you said. I mean, the truth is we started this season the same way we started the last two or three. You know, it's kind of the Super Bowl, I mean, the cup or bust. And, you know, halfway through, you end up having to make a change. And you make a change, and then all of a sudden, I think from that point on, everything kind of changes. You know, that is the perception, the goal, the what you think this team can do, all changes just because, I mean, we're playing poor enough, we just got a coach fired. So, I mean, how good can we be? And so I think from that point on, it kind of changes saying, okay, what are we going to get out of this year? You know, are we just going to survive it? Are we going to try to prosper? How are we going to do this? And if you can finish that up by saying, okay, well, we made the playoffs and maybe even won a series or whatever, then I think you're probably excited about that. But the part that's disappointing, I guess, is that you're only, you know, what is this is middle of February. I mean, the season is what, 4 months long? Have we been doing this for 4 months?
October, November, December, January. Yes, five.
Five months, and we've gone from, you know, Stanley Cup or bust to, you know, now we're.
Let's see what happens.
Let's hope.
I mean, I felt like one of the great aspects of the Titans playoff run was that, not that it was unexpected, but, I mean, the Titans really had to earn what they got. I mean, they had to earn it. And if the Predators, like, do make some noise in the playoffs, it will feel like they earned it. It will feel like, hey, they really came. I mean, if the Predators make it to the playoffs, like John Hines said, if the Predators make it to the playoffs and then have a nice little playoff run, their season will essentially be the exact same as the Titans. The only difference is instead of the quarterback getting fired, the coach got fired.
Yeah, but similar situation. You know, you're going through what happened here, going through some bad times, going through some struggles, going through having to make changes nobody wants to make, and then where do you go from there? And if you can pick it up, and that's why, you know, part of this season for the Titans was so miraculous. You know, people look at that and they go, wow, something really gelled there. And that's why, again, you know, when we get back to talking about this quarterback thing, you're right back to, well, why would you change a bunch of stuff? You know, I remember when I was at a place and old coach got fired or old coach retired. So we're moving in there, and it was a successful place. It was not, he just retired. And we, you know, we went in there and changed a bunch of stuff, thinking, well, we need some changes. And the players came in and they go, hey, we won the division last year. Why are we changing all this stuff? You know? And they had a good point. It was kind of like, wait, you were winning. Things were going well. Why are we changing all this stuff? So, always interesting.
Now, the Predators had to change a lot of their stuff because they were losing a lot of games.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I mean, that's why they had to make some changes.
I understand the reason.
I just think that, to me, the one thing I've learned about the Predators with the fans is they'll believe whatever they want to believe. Even though Titan fans and Preds fans are very similar, because I think a lot of them are the same people. So a lot of people who root for the Predators also root for the Titans, and who root for the Titans also root for the Predators. But what I think is different is with Titan fans, I don't feel as much genuine optimism about the team as I do with the Predators, which is that Preds fans will say things like what John Hines just said right there. And John Hines might be right that, hey, you know, you go down the stretch and you get hot to get yourself into the playoffs, and all of a sudden that heat can carry you through the playoffs. I mean, hell, look at St. Louis last year. But at the same time, like that granular of hope is something that the Preds fans will latch on to and will say, Jared, we just got to get hot down the stretch and then we'll get in the playoffs and you watch, Jared. And with Titans fans, I mean, people forget how long it took for people to believe in this team. I mean, into November, around Thanksgiving, we're like, do we really trust the Titans to beat the Jags at home this week? I mean, Nick Foles is starting back at quarterback for the second time this season. I mean, that is something to be worried about. Do we really trust the Titans to be able to go to Oakland and beat the Raiders? You know, they don't play very well on the West Coast. So it took us forever before we started to believe the Titans could do something.
Well, I think that's,
I mean, with
a,
this team,
that's a result.
Are we just going to jump into the water with this team right now because we didn't do it for the Titans?
Well, no, but I mean, recent history has an effect on that. Mm-hmm. You know, the Preds fans are that way because they were, you know, in the Stanley Cup Finals, what, 3 years ago? And President's Trophy and, you know, I mean, there's legitimate reasons. And I'm sure 2 or 3 years after, you know, we went to the Super Bowl, people were saying, hey, yeah, they're going to pull it out. They'll find a way. And then all of a sudden you go a period of time and you're not finding ways. Now all of a sudden it's, okay, show me you can find a way. Then I'll believe.
I want to say with the Titans, with their franchise, I want to say it was probably the 2008 loss to the Ravens that was the moment where it was like, okay, you got to prove it to me before I start to believe anything about you. And the Predators haven't gotten there yet. For whatever reason, I think that's at least a little bit impressive. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I have the latest summary of the proposed CBA right in front of me. So the same thing that the players are getting, I have right in front of me, which has the highlights, or really lays out all the differences in the latest agreement that the owners and the players have been negotiating. We'll discuss it next. We'll see what Floyd thinks about the new CBA that has been proposed. This was proposed as of this morning, which is when I received this, so we'll get to that coming up next. As we are live at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena, Jared of the GM, CSP and 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app.